Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you guys this morning. Why are social studies and geography skills important? That's our question, right? Well, you could ask a person who bought airplane tickets to San Jose because he was going to a wedding in Costa Rica if they're important, when he found out that he had tickets to San Jose, California instead. You could ask the person that was going to Honduras if it's important. When he was at the airport, somebody asked him, well, what city are you going to? He said, I'm just learning that's not the name of the city. You could ask the person that moved to Alturas, California, if it's important, when he was told that there was going to be monkeys and palm trees there. If you know anything about California, it's totally different there, in Alturas anyway. Or my student that went around telling everybody how much she loves Thai food. I needed to explain to her that the people in Thailand eat Thai food because they're from Thailand. The purpose of studying geography and social studies skills is virtually the same as all the subjects we teach. The goal is for them to learn about reality so they can interact with reality in a meaningful way, right? So I'm going to split this topic up into two parts. The first part, I'm going to talk about our goals. And the second part, I'm going to talk about the pathway to our goals. So first, let's talk about our goals. What are some of the things that I want students to know when they finish our schools? I want them to understand location, right? We want people to realize where they are located, how where they are is related to other places in the world. It'd be really unfortunate if they graduated and they had no idea that the state they lived on was on the West Coast or something like that. It seems like very basic skills, but if it's not taught to them, they won't know it, right? So location, place recognition. If they see a picture of the Sphinx, do they have any idea where that is? Or the pyramids? Place recognition. Distance evaluation. Bosses are very interesting creatures. It's unfortunate if your boss says something like, yeah, just load up the truck and head over to Spokane and pop on back and we'll load you up for the next... Well, wait a second here. Let's talk about distance here. That's an all-day trip. So distance evaluation is important too. And of course, reading and vocabulary skills. Reading class is not the only place students learn to read. They need to be able to read history books, where they'll be learning about geography and social studies as well. And as they read those topics, they increase their vocabulary because they run into words like fjord, right? Mesa. They learn to pronounce these words. They learn to realize what they are. And perhaps one of the more important reasons we want our students to learn these skills is for mission-mindedness. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, right? For God so loved the world. How can we say we have the heart of Jesus if we have no concern or interest in other people or the things that they live through? Do you care at all about the Christians in China who are suffering or North Korea? Another important thing that our students need to learn is cultural IQ. It's impossible for us to teach the students everything about every culture in the world. But if we could teach them some basics as we go along, like if they grow up and they have Muslim neighbors and they invite them over, probably not a good idea to have pork sandwiches. Or if you go to Japan working for Smith Seeds and you're at somebody's house and they serve you some hot green tea, maybe you should avoid asking for sugar, because they find that very disgusting and embarrassing there, sugar and green tea. Another thing, if we are teaching them cultural IQ, it helps them to realize that other people in the world do things differently than the way we do, and that doesn't make them stupid. And when they realize that other people do things differently, they can be mindful of that and look for that, because what does the Bible say? It says that love is not rude. And so we have to be adaptable. We have to see how people do things differently and keep that in mind so that we're not rude and we can reach people. In Japan, I spoke to a Japanese man. He said, you might not want to start with the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. You might not want to emphasize it that way in Japan, Because their emperor that helped them to get involved in World War II, they believed was the Son of God. He said, we've heard that before. So, our goals. But I want to go on to our pathway now. I highly encourage you, especially if your school has not emphasized this before, to try to make it fun. And of course, if something is fun, that's easier for us all, right, to learn. But it also helps with some other issues. You see, there's basically two kinds of parenting. One kind of parenting, the child goes home and goes, Mommy! And the mom says, what is it, honey? What did the teacher do to you this time? I have to memorize all 50 states. When are you ever going to use that? This is horrible. I'm going to talk to the teacher immediately. Okay, so you can get that kind of parenting style. Or you can get the other kind where the parent is like, you know, that does sound like a lot of work, but I think the way out for this one is going to be through it. And I'm going to help you work through this. And I know the teacher might not do things the way you like it, but try to get along with them. Okay, so there's the different parenting styles. So if it's not fun, there's going to be lots of complaining to the parents. In that first style, you're going to hear from a lot. Okay? So just my suggestion for you. What are some ways that we can make it fun? All right. Well, you could start with South America, and this has got some rivers. My daughter drew this for me. I actually think the Andes go further than that. But anyway, you could start with South America, which is a country that doesn't have, or a continent that doesn't have very many countries. So the load will seem lighter at first. And then when they start complaining about it, you could go over to the map. And, you know, do some weird things, some unexpected things like Mr. Bean talked about today. You know, you could do something like, hey guys, no, I know it seems like a lot, but it's easy. I could do this in maybe 30 seconds or so. And then, no, oh, come on, watch. Colombia, Venezuela, Guyana, Argentina, Ecuador, Chile, too. Paraguay, Uruguay, Suriname, French Guiana, Brazil, the Pacific, Peru. Bolivia, Atlantic, Caribbean, Amazon, its river, Galapagos, Andes, Mount Aconcagua, the Pampas, Patagonia, the Strait of Magellan, Falkland Islands. I mean, and then the only drawback of doing something weird like that is then later, like if you do Africa, which has like 50-something countries, then they go, are you going to sing a song? Okay, so, but yes, but, you know, if they memorize a few other things like, Easter Island belongs to Chile, and the highest navigable lake, you know, Titicaca and Angel Falls and a few cities or something, they'd be good. And you see that probably took, I don't know, 30, 40 seconds or something. It's not as hard as people try to make it sound that it is. All right, so doing weird stuff like that can help to make it fun. Something else is students love to work in groups. They love to work in groups. And that's not the most efficient way at all to teach, is it? But sometimes the most efficient way is not the most effective way. And if they work in groups, they'll enjoy it more. You can also play games with them. And again, I split them into groups. So sometimes boys versus girls, you know, they really love that. Things like that. You split them into different groups. You ask questions and give them points. One problem with that is the students that are faster learners, they can start just answering all the questions, right? And the other people, they start just talking or not paying close attention. So one way I found around that is I'll tell them, all right, make sure everybody in your group knows the answer because I'm just going to call on somebody at random. That often works. You can, depending on your classroom, you can get into a situation where the slow learner freezes, and then there can be a lot of peer pressure, and then they feel bad, and so then that might not work in your setting. If that happens, another thing that I do is I say, all right, we'll have all, I'm going to come around and you all have to write the answer down. And you're not getting a point if everybody in your group doesn't have the same answer. And so they, or of course they can talk to each other and come up with the answer, but they all have to write it down. That way it's going into their brain. Something else that I suggest, we We would do a continent a month. Of course, there's 9 months of school, and there's not nine inhabited continents. But you could do a continent a month. You could do the United States 1 month. And then you could take maybe a couple months off, like December and the last month of school when it gets
Don't
so crazy.
Canada.
It's not a continent, sir.
Neither
states. Oh, I see what you're getting at. I called somebody in Canada and ordered something from Ontario, in fact. And she asked if I was Canadian. I said, no, I'm American. And I thought, wait a second. Canadians are American, too. But anyway, all right. So you distracted me. All right. So a country report and a state report, or fine, a Canadian report if you really want to, a month. And what should they put on the report? Well, obviously location, because remember that was one of our goals, right? I always did an oral report. Why? Because it was easier for me to grade. I just graded it while they were doing it. So location, per capita income, life expectancy, way of life, geography, climate, government, and spiritual conditions. Those are all good things to have on the report. And of course, give them a paper ahead of time so that they can see, you know, how you're going to grade them. They can understand what's going to need to be covered. All right. So like I said, we did a continent a month in the United States. What I did is I had a quiz at the end of the month. And so we would maybe memorize five countries or five states, or in his case, five provinces a day. And obviously, it's not going to take that long to get the whole thing covered. We'd have review days. And I would have a day where we would not have history class. Instead, I would lecture, go generally over the continent, just a general glossing over the continent, lifestyle and things like that. And they had to take notes because at the end of the month we'd have a quiz. And just for fun, I'm going to give you a quiz. And you'll see how simple this is. I usually just did like 10. I don't think I only have 15, so maybe some of you are going to be lucky and not have. I only did 10 questions. Why? It made it easy to grade, A. B, it gave a reasonable sample if they actually learned the material. If you wanted to be a little bit more accurate, you could have more questions on there. But if you've taught school for a while, you understand how your time is so limited. It's amazing how limited your time is. I'm just going to maybe give it to like every other person. You can work in groups. So. So a quiz like this, how would you do on the United States, Mr. Canadian? All right, so I'm just going to kind of show you how I do this. Or did it. Oh, you're...
Well, no, cool. They're trying to get out of it.
They're trying to get out of it. And wisely so. All right, let's start with some easy ones, shall we? Put a number one on Lake Okeechobee. Number one on Lake Okeechobee. We'll start with a big lake. Lake Okeechobee. Okay, now, I don't want to be demeaning, but let's try number two. Strait of Juan de Fuca. Strait of Juan de Fuca. Put a two on the Strait of Juan de Fuca. Okay, you live close. If you live around here, you live close to the Strait of Juan de Fuca. Strait of Juan de Fuca. You can do it in groups, folks. Makes it more fun, right? Okay. Three. The Channel Islands. Channel Islands. Come on, you can do this. United States. Three Channel Islands. I wanted to go there, but... Four. Vermont. It looks like a V. Come on, you can get Vermont. Looks like a V. Okay. West Virginia. Number 5, West Virginia. Six. Flip it over on the back. We're going to do some questions. This would be like if I had lectured. These would be some things from the notes you would take if you were a student. Six. What date did the U.S. gain independence? You know what's really weird about it? Actually, let me word it this way. What date did it declare independence? Because that makes a little difference. What date did it declare independence? Okay. Seven. What kind of government does the U.S. have? I'll have some mercy on you.
Chaotic?
Hey, that's accurate. That's accurate. Eight. What are the three branches of government in the United States? Do you know the three branches? Three branches. Let you think about that for a little bit. Nine. I know you can get this. Who was the first president? I know you can get that.
Trump.
First president. All right. Let's not break into a fight here. 10. What is the longest river in the U.S.? You know, if you don't know a lot of these, that's okay. It shows that, you know, it might be good to study, to teach this, because you'll learn along the way. All right, well, let's grade it, and then let's, you know, I love tests that are 10 questions, because minus 1, of course, is 90, minus 2 is 80. I mean, you don't have to even think. So, Lake Okeechobee. Now, I'm going to do something that I would not do. Can I use your thing? I would not do this to a student normally, but I don't have another copy, so I'm going to do it. All right, Lake Okeechobee is in California. Not California. Yes, California, right here. No. Florida. Okay, it's a huge lake in Florida. 2, Strait of Juan, if you could please remember this if you're from Oregon or Washington. It's right here. It separates Washington State from Canada right here. You see it straight? Yeah, Vancouver Island. Channel Islands. If you're from California, please learn this. They're right there. I don't know if anybody can see. Is anybody from California? What?
Ancapa Arch over there, nearby Santa Barbara. That's like.
You've been there?
I've been.
Oh, do it. I wanted to go to. What did you say?
Ancapa Islands and Ancapa Arch.
Okay, that doesn't sound familiar to me, but.
It is close. I mean, right across from Ventura, Isabel. From Santa Barbara, you're just 20 miles away from the shore.
Yes, Santa Catalina, I think, is the one that most people go to. Okay, so let's continue. Yes, go there and think of me and enjoy the sunshine.
I'll take a picture too.
Yeah, text me a picture. All right, Vermont, it's way over here in New England. It's the one that looks kind of like a U or a V, okay? West Virginia is right here. Okay, on the back, the date. The U.S. declared independence, 1776, July 4th, obviously. What kind of government does the U.S. have? You know, I was surprised at how there can be kind of different answers for this, which I wouldn't think that. I would say Democratic Republic. What? Anybody else have?
Federal government.
Federalism or something?
If you have it compared to the other democracies in the world, it's quite different, federal government.
Okay, sure. Representative democracy, sure.
Sorry,
that would be a republic, yeah. Good point. No?
It started out as a republic.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, I thought you were saying that is a republic. No, a republic is just having a representative, not necessarily a democracy. Okay, look at China. All right, so what are the three branches of government? The legislative, judicial, and executive. Those are the three branches. Who was the first president of Washington, and what is the longest river in the United States? Does anyone know?
Mississippi.
Not Mississippi, that's Missouri?
Missouri.
Yes, the Mississippi has the most water in it, but the Missouri is the longest.
Well.
See the difference there? All right. Okay. Order in the classroom. Order. This can happen if you work in groups. Okay, so a question for you before we go on, because I'm going to take you on a trip around the world here. Can you see some other objectives in geography and social studies skills? Some other objectives we might have and ways to reach those objectives that I didn't maybe cover. Anybody?
Observing the events of the Bible, describing the Bible in the landscape.
Oh,
like the flood.
Yeah, you could go into studying geography of the Bible. It's true.
And like the foundation for believing episodes in the history, like flood. And
the flood. Okay. So geology stuff even. Yeah. Yeah, I could see how that would be valuable because geography and geology are somewhat related. And the world, of course, is telling you that it takes millions of years or something to get a layer, which is, of course, ridiculous. But so you're right. That's a good point. I appreciate that. Some other thoughts? No? All right. So what I'm going to do next is I'm going to, because I actually want you to learn some of these geography skills as well, I'm going to take you on a little tour around the world. But I'm not going to cover the real common things like the continents, the oceans. I'm going to cover some things that maybe you don't know, but that actually come up relatively often, maybe in the news and things like that. So what I'm going to do first is I'm going to hand out again, but this time it's going to be the world. And I'm going to give you maybe 5 minutes or so to work together to see what you can come up with. And then we're going to go through it together, and I'll talk about these different parts of the world with you in detail here. As I'm handing this out, one other tool that I use to help teach geography is the first spelling test of the year. We did geographical terms. And they had to draw a picture with the geographical terms. Because you'd be surprised at how many people don't know what a fjord is, or how to say it, okay? Or a mesa, all right? Or a strait. And so, if you do the test like that every year, I'm a huge believer in repetition. The students get annoyed by it a little bit, and it might not be fun, but at least then it gets ingrained in their mind. So I'll give you maybe 5 minutes or so. You can look over this. There's my handwriting that's kind of an issue. So if you can't read one of them, ask me. I'll be happy to help you. Just put the number in next to the right place. Yeah, I guess I'm a little short.
What do we do?
So put the, what you do, like the first one says Scandinavia. Which number on the map is Scandinavia? Match them. Sorry, Ron. Yeah. Yeah.
How's it coming? Where are you guys?
Oh, you done?
You guys, Taiwan, I didn't mark. So just make that like number 19 or something. Yeah. There's a couple little tricks in there too, by the way. All right, are we pretty much? Let's go through this now. We'll see how you did. All right, Scandinavia. Scandinavia is number one, and depends on how you classify Scandinavia, because some people say it's just Denmark, Sweden, and Norway. But some people include Finland and Iceland as well and call it the Nordic countries. All right, so Patagonia. Sorry, I don't have a copy. I might rip yours off here.
Go ahead. We don't mind.
Patagonia, it's number what? Yeah, number two. Patagonia is a beautiful, rugged region in South America. There's mountains, there's forests in the west, deserts. All right, number three, the West Indies. What number is the West Indies?
Three.
I'm going to play with your mind a little bit. Now, you know why it's called West Indies, right? Because when Columbus came across, he thought he was in India, right? Called West Indies, kind of weird. My Russian students, that really, for some reason, they couldn't get their mind wrapped around that. Four. The boundary of Asia and Europe is
four.
Yes.
There are two fours.
I know. I'm playing with your mind here. And also I worked on this late last night, so that helps too. But I want to go into that a little bit, because some people they don't understand where the boundary is, all right? So there's the Ural Mountains and the Ural River, right? The Caucasus, if I can say it right. And here's the thing. When you get in the south part, those Caucasus mountains, it gets really weird there. Like there might be this valley, and they go, well, this is part of Europe. It's like, whatever. But you have a general idea, okay? There's the Black Sea and also the Caspian Sea. All right. Now, the Hawaiian Islands. It's one of the states. Do you know where one of the 50 states are? Is? Sorry, right. This is not an English class. What?
14
is right. That's why I kind of circled some other islands to see if I could trick you. All right. Persian Gulf. This is in the news all the time, the Persian Gulf. Does anyone know which number is the Persian Gulf? 17. That's in the news all the time. It's good for you to know where the Persian Gulf is. The Hormuz Strait? Yeah, right by there. Yes. You're a smart one, I can tell.
I like geography, I'm not smart.
7, the Middle East. 9. So that includes Bahrain, Cyprus, Egypt, Iran, Iraq, Israel, Jordan, Kuwait, Lebanon, Northern Cyprus, Oman, Palestine, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, Syria, Turkey, United Arab Emirates, Yemen. And again, geographers like to classify things differently. Some people include like Sudan as well, or part of Sudan. But the truth of the matter is a lot of the culture extends through Northern Africa and Eastern Africa, kind of by the Middle East. All right, so number 8, I'm curious. Did anyone find the Aleutian Islands? Which number is the Aleutian Islands?
18.
Yes, you're right. How many people knew that the Aleutian Islands were 18? There's actually, I don't know, is that 50% or so? That's pretty good. It's a part of Alaska, of course. Yep, by the Bering Strait. 9. New England. Does anyone know where? That always threw the Russians off too. Why is it called New England? All right, it's number 6. Maine, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Connecticut, and Vermont. Okay, Iberian Peninsula. Anyone know where the Iberian Peninsula is?
8.
Let's see here. Yes.
Portugal and Spain.
No. Haha.
Plus Catalonia. País Vasco.
Portugal, Spain. You forgot Andorra.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which is up in the Pyrenees Mountains. And is there another one? Oh, Gibraltar, which is not a country, belongs to England, but I just...
Big rock.
Yeah.
if you take Portugal to Madeira Island, then the Azores... And
yeah, you're right. But is that a part of the peninsula, though? Okay, 11. Balkan Peninsula. The powder keg of Europe. Does anyone know where the Balkan... Lots of wars like to start there. You're coming from there?
Yeah.
Really? Okay. So do you know
north.
Really? Romania. Do you know Romania? Actually, my research, Romania was considered part of the Balkan. So
yeah.
Yeah. So do you know all the countries in the Balkan Peninsula?
Yeah.
I think you probably know.
Which? Yeah, I'm going to put you on the spot here. No, I'm not going to.
In the Balkan Peninsula.
What'd you say?
The capitals.
Do I know the capitals?
Yeah.
I don't even know all the countries. I don't have that. I'm going to read off a list here. No, but
I will go there actually in vacation right after I leave US, so I will avoid one of the countries, Kosovo.
You're right.
On the road.
It probably has a gorgeous climate. But anyway, which number, 11, which number is the Balkan Peninsula? Did somebody find it?
10.
It's 10. So it's got Greece, right, and Macedonia. And I'll read some other ones. Montenegro, Serbia, Albania, Croatia, Bulgaria, Kosovo. I guess part of Turkey, just a small part, is on there. Romania, Slovenia, and Greece. All right, and Macedonia, which I already mentioned. Oh, what about Crimea? That can also be in the news. Russia and Ukraine.
Was it 16?
Let me look here. It's sticking out in the Black Sea. 16, you're right. How many people got that one right? Crimea. It's in the news. Hey, you guys are pretty smart. What about Hong Kong? Does anyone know Hong Kong? 13, that's right. And you know the story, right? That England used to rule it. And then their agreement ran up and they had to give it back to China. But they made this interesting arrangement where it didn't have to be communist. So it was one country but two systems, they say. But recently, you know, of course, China tries to get its hands in there, and so they're rioting right now, unfortunately. It's kind of sad. I feel sorry for them. I pray for them. But let's continue on. What about Taiwan? This one is not numbered. I'm very sorry. We'll just call it 19 or something, right? Do you want to see where it is here? It's hard to see. There's an island to the side, to the right, to the east of China. Yeah, kind of up from 13. Yeah, in the South China Sea, Taiwan. That country is also independent, but if you get a map made from China, they like to include it as a part of their country because they see it as that. All right, what about Singapore? Yeah, 15, it matches. All right, 16, Adriatic Sea. Does anyone know where the Adriatic Sea is?
Sea in Mediterranean.
It's what?
The cleanest sea in Mediterranean.
It's the cleanest one?
No, the river is flowing to it very clean. I recommend locations over there.
Number 12.
Yes, it's number 12, to the right of Italy. And yes, I believe, you know, I see all those pictures from over there, the beautiful water. All right, what about 17, the Aegean Sea? No, it's okay. That is to the right. That's to the right of Greece. You could have put number 10 down. Okay, accidentally. So it's to the right of Greece. And interestingly enough, some of the longest living people live in the Aegean Sea. There's an island not too far from Patmos where Apostle John lived, and he's the longest living, supposedly, apostle. Interestingly enough, Icaria, just a few miles away. Scientists go there to study these long-lived people. They have an interesting lifestyle. They care little about the clock. So I read an account of a wedding there. The bride showed up 2 hours late, which wasn't a problem because the priest wasn't there yet either. So then they got married, and the wedding went on for 2 days. But speaking of long-lived people, let's go over to another sea, the Tyrrhenian Sea. Or Tyrrhenian Sea, because there's a city, Campotamale, over by that sea, and the people, the average age, they live to be 95. So there's something about that, you know, the Mediterranean area. Maybe you'll get to be really old. I don't know.
I got a brother-in-law, Italian.
Yeah.
And like, tell you that part of, and they actually like Sardinia, the southern part of Italy. That part, they have a culture for eating healthy. Like, they eat a lot of olives and olive oil. And all those Mediterranean plants, not too much pork and stuff.
Yeah, right. All right. All right. Maybe that helps them. All right, that's number 18 on the left side of Italy. And all that's, of course, attached to the Mediterranean. All right, before I wrap this up, are there any other really important areas you think that we should mention? How about Palestine? Do you know where Palestine is? I bet you do. It's on the right side of the Mediterranean. It's where Israel is, right? Some other regions?
Panama Channel.
Oh, Panama. Sure. So that's obviously in Panama, and it allows ships to go from east to west, from the Atlantic to the Pacific. Okay? Anything else?
Suez Canal.
The Suez Canal? Mm-hmm. That is in Egypt. All right, that's important because a lot of oil goes through there. All right. Well, I'm going to wrap this up by saying I sell furniture for a living. The other day, this woman came in, and she had made mention that she wasn't from this area. So I asked her, well, where are you from? And she told me, Persia. I said, oh, so you're from Iran then. She was like, what? She wasn't expecting me to know that Persia and Iran are the same thing. And so she said, well, you must know about the region. And so we had a conversation. And it's little things like that. Dealing with reality. Interacting with reality. That's why we teach our students geography and social studies skills. And I trust that they can interact in a way that's pleasing to God. We're done. Thank you for coming.